So come to the Word of God. Can we stand as we just say a wee prayer together, please, if you're able? Speak, Lord, in the stillness, while I wait on thee. Hushed my heart to listen in expectancy. Speak, O blessed Master, in this quiet hour, let me see thy face, Lord. Feel thy touch of power. For the words thou speakest, they are life indeed, living bread from heaven. Now my spirit feed. Amen. You'll remember that a few weeks ago we did Asa, and Asa has now passed on, and we're now into a new king, and his name is Jehoshaphat. Yeah, and sorry, I just organized myself a wee bit here. His name is Jehoshaphat. Remember we talked about the last time that the kingdom, if we slip the map right down in here, this would be the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel. Down there would be the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. So you have north, south, Israel, Judah. 19 kings in the northern kingdom. 19 kings and one queen in the southern kingdom. No kings in the northern kingdom that any desire to do anything for God, and 8 of the kings in the southern kingdom had. And we're dealing with 2 of those 8. We dealt with Asa, and we're now going to deal with, this morning, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat. So we're just going to literally read the text and kind of talk through it as we go. So we're going to start. Some of you might want to look it up on your phone or in your Bible, or it'll be on the screen. 2 Chronicles 17, verse 1 to 6. Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place. So Asa had reigned for 39 years, I think it was, and Jehoshaphat steps in as the 4th king and strengthened himself against Israel, the northern kingdom. He placed forces in all the fortified cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim that Asa, his father, had captured. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the earlier ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked in his commandments and not according to the practices of Israel. Therefore, the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought tribute to Jehoshaphat, and he had great riches and honor. His heart was courageous in the ways of the Lord, and furthermore, he took the high places and the Asherim out of Judah. That idolatry, the idol worship he took out of Judah. So here he is, he steps in place of Asa, his father. I've put this there to be different from the point of view. If notice what it says here, that the Lord was with him. And the Lord was with him for a reason, because he walked in the earlier ways of his father. And you would have expected to say his father, Asa. Well, it didn't. His father, David. And I thought about that. And you know, so often we live our lives in the lives of the previous generation. When actually this guy, Jehoshaphat, it says he walked in the ways of his father, David. He goes right back to David. And David was described in Scripture as a man after God's own heart. Are you living in the shadow of somebody else from a previous generation? And you're feeling, I need to keep up to them, or I need to do what they did, or whatever. And we can live in the shadow of the good and the bad of a previous generation when we need to look back to the source of kingship, Jesus Christ, and seek to follow him and live in his shadow. Dare to be different. His heart was courageous. It just simply means this: his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. There was something about following Jesus that filled, or following God, that filled this guy with delight in his heart. Maybe he had courage, but he was delighted to follow Jesus. Are you delighted to follow, be a follower of Jesus today? Does it bring joy to you to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Or maybe you need to dare to be different and step out from the shadow of others and just follow Jesus for yourself. In the third year of his reign, he sent his officials, Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathiel, and Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah, and with them the Levites. See all those names? Do you think I'm going to read those? I did. I've tried about three or four times. But anyway, he sent a load of Levites, and with the Levites, a load of priests. All right. And they taught in Judah, having the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went about through all the cities of Judah and taught among the people. It just simply means taught alongside the people wherever they could. The things that you have learned, says Timothy, in the New Testament and seen in me, I want you to pass that on to others, that they can teach others as well. And so those of you that know Jesus this morning, you know, and maybe you've been walking with him a while, are you seeking to pass on truth to others? Or are you just keeping it to yourself? Are you passing it on? You know, if you're really quiet, do you hear the beat upstairs at the Sunday school? maybe, yeah. You know, I know they're having fun up there, but they're also passing on to them the Word of God. Tuesday nights here, passing on the Word of God. Sunday mornings, seeking to pass on the Word of God. In discipleship classes, in home groups, seeking to pass on the Word of God, the things that we've been taught, to pass them on to others. And this is what Jehoshaphat started to do. He took the teaching of the Word of God and the delivery of the Word of God serious right throughout all of the cities in the land of Judah. Can I just say, you know, maybe you're a bit new to FCF. We take serious the teaching of the Word of God. The Word of God, the Bible. Because we believe it to be the inspired, infallible Word of the living God. And we want Jehoshaphats to be raised up in this place that will pass it on and bring the next generations the Word of God. Now, Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor, and he made a marriage alliance with Ahab. After some years, he went down to Ahab in Samaria, and Ahab killed an abundance of sheep and oxen for him and for the people who were with him, and induced him to go up against Ramoth Gilead. Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will you go with me to Ramoth Gilead?" He answered him, "I am as you are, my people as your people. We will be with you in the war." And then Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, his enemy, a king that didn't walk with God, he says, "Inquire first for the word of the Lord." Put this diverted relationships. So often in life, we can end up with compromising relationships, relationships that compromise our integrity, our love, can compromise us in so many different ways. And Jehoshaphat made an alliance. It says he made a marriage. This was like a covenant he entered into with a wrong guy. He made it with an enemy. And maybe this morning, I'm going to be asking a lot of questions, but maybe this morning you need to think about alliances that you have made that need to be broken this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Covenants that you have entered in the past. And Jehoshaphat, in the midst of all this and even going into this wrong alliance, he knew in his head, we can't go to battle unless we ask of the Lord first. And maybe there's relationships and you need to get before the Lord and seek his face and what he has for you in relationships that you've made, either in family or in business or in whatever. This was where the whole story starts to turn. And all of a sudden, of course, the inquire of the Lord first. What King Ahab did, he said, I bring out all my prophets. He brought 400 of his prophets out and said, now, come on, prophesy. What's going to happen at Ramoth Gilead? Oh, you're going to be successful, Ahab. Not a problem. 400 of them all said the same thing. Jehoshaphat wasn't convinced. Jehoshaphat said, is there a prophet that's going to give us the word of the Lord? Ahab said this. He said, there's a guy who will tell me the truth, but I hate him because he always prophesies bad against me. There's not too many of us sometimes like the truth between the eyeballs. Eh? But this was a prophet, and this prophet, Micaiah, he would tell the truth. He came out, and the messenger actually went to get him. He says, now, you know, agree with the other 400 because, you know, the king wants a nice wee message that'll tickle his ears. Micaiah said, I'm going to deliver the word of the Lord, what God has given to me. And he did that. Ahab was a little pleased because he didn't say that they were going to be successful. And Ahab says, into prison you go, boy. And don't give me any food until I return from the battle. And the prophet said, if you return from the battle, and he basically said this, mark my words. There may be diverted relationships that are compromising so many areas of your life that need dealt with. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Judah, they went to battle at Ramoth Gilead, and the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I'm going to disguise myself and go into battle, but you wear your robes. So Jehoshaphat was wearing his kingly robes. The king of Israel, Ahab, he disguised himself, and they went into battle. Now the king of Syria, so that was the guy who was coming to fight them. He had commanded the captains of his chariots, fight with neither small nor great, but only with the king of Israel. So as soon as the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, that was the king of Judah, dressed in his robes, they turned to fight against him. So Jehoshaphat is in a battle. He's in a wrong alliance. He's in a battle. And all of a sudden, the enemy's coming flat after him. And Ahab, nothing's happening to him. He's disguised. And Jehoshaphat cried out. And the Lord helped him. God drew them away from him, for as soon as the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. And in that battle, it says in the King James, one of the archers from Syria drew a bow at a venture. In other words, he just went, one for luck. And it just pierced Ahab right between his armor. And they propped him up in the chariot, and he died that evening. Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. I want to ask you this morning, what battle are you facing? What battle have you got raging in your life this morning? Is it financial? Relational? Physical? Health? mental well-being, spiritual troubles, still don't know the Lord, and it's troubling you, and there's a battle raging in your life, family issues, you don't know what to do with them. It's interesting that this battle, you could say in this battle, do you know this? This battle was Jehoshaphat's own making. He should never have went the first place to go and make that alliance with Ahab. You could say that. You could say, too, that it was others making, because the people came and said, let's go and fight against Syria. And Ahab said, let's go to Ramoth-Gilead and let's have a war. But overarching all of it is the divine providence of God. And maybe you are in a battle this morning and it's your own making. Or maybe you're in a battle and you feel other people have, it's because of them that I'm in this. And you're fighting it yourself. It's interesting that it doesn't tell us anything in the text what Jehoshaphat actually said. It just says he cried out from the depths of his pain and misery. He just cried out to God. And the Lord helped him. And maybe you this morning, in the depths of where you are, you need to cry out to the Lord and look for him to help you. You're maybe running here, there, a quack there, and someone else here. Cry out to the Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned in safety to his house in Jerusalem. But Jehu, the son of Hanai, the seer. So previously, Hanai had gone to Asa and had challenged Asa about how he was reigning and how he was living. And Asa wasn't a bit pleased with him and he put him in prison. And here's a totally different attitude that Jehoshaphat had. Because Jehu, the son of Hanai, the seer, went out to meet him. And he said to Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Because of this, wrath has gone out against you from the Lord. Nevertheless, some good is found in you, for you destroyed the Asheroth out of the land and have set your heart to seek God. Excuse me. So he listens to Jehu, who comes out and says, you've made a party here with the wicked. You made an alliance with Ahab. Should you help them and love those who actually are against the Lord? And listen, brothers and sisters, there are sometimes, I was asking myself the question as I was studying this today, are there ways in which I'm helping the wicked to hate the Lord? Have I made alliances, or are my actions actually encouraging people to sin against the Lord who loved me and gave himself for me at the cross of Calvary? It's a challenging point. And maybe you're here this morning and you have blown it. And you know you've sinned against God and you've sinned against others and you've blown it. And you think, I'm on the scrap heap, I'm finished, there's nothing about me that's any good. I love this. It said the wrath of God had gone out against Jehoshaphat from the Lord. Nevertheless. I wrote under that, what's so amazing about grace? Nevertheless, some good is found in you. Jehoshaphat, you made the wrong alliances. You stepped out of what I really planned. But listen, there's some good in you. Brothers and sisters, maybe you're putting yourself down this morning, you're inadequate, you're insecure, you're whatever. Listen, let me tell you, there's some good in you. And God wants to take that good that's in you, and he wants to take it back, and he wants to restore it. Will you this morning set your heart to seek the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of the Christ of Calvary? Because that's exactly, have set your heart to seek God. The same thought in this as is found in Luke chapter 9 when it tells us about Jesus Christ. He set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem. To go to the cross. No turning back. He was firm. He was stable. He was resolute in what he was going to do. And maybe you've blown it so much, you want to lock yourself in the house. Maybe you're online this morning and you don't want to come out here because of something you've done and something that has happened. You wonder if I walk down the street, are they going to say this? Are people going to be talking here and chatting there and looking at me? And you get paranoid about what's going on around you. I've been there with that. Jehoshaphat lived at Jerusalem. Listen, and he went out again among the people. Brothers and sisters, we need each other in the family of God. And if you are sitting at home and you're staying at home, you're isolating yourself, you need to get out amongst the people, get back out against among the people. And you can be used then to bring others back to the Lord. That's what happened to Jehoshaphat. He brought others back to the Lord, to the God of their fathers. It seemed like everything was going great. And then after this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Menuites, a lot of ites there, isn't there, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they're in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid, set his face to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah, and Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, new battle rages. Like Stevie mentioned last week about trials, you know, how they're inevitable and how they're necessary. And you just, sometimes you just think you're coming out of one battle and the next thing, bang, another battle hits. Jehoshaphat comes out of that battle where he had a miraculous deliverance by the Lord God of heaven. And he comes out of that battle and all of a sudden there's another great multitude. And he was afraid. There's nothing as a crippler like fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of what people think. Fear of this, that, and the other. But when Jehoshaphat was afraid, it says he set his heart. Look at the number of times this guy sets his heart. There's a determination in him to seek the Lord. What are you seeking, or whose help are you seeking? I know we encourage you to seek help in the prayer corner, and that's brilliant, to seek help in various counseling. Yes, that's great. I've received that myself. But Jehoshaphat comes here, he says, I'm going to seek the Lord. And more than that, we're all going to seek the Lord. And he proclaims a fast throughout all Judah. When's the last time you fasted? When's the last time I fasted? With seriousness before God. To seek his help for a particular battle or a circumstance that you find yourself in. we have this, we have the idea, we need to fast from food. And yes, that is a lot of biblical, is fasting from food, but you can fast from a whole lot of stuff. Social media, Netflix, a whole lot of things that you can fast from. When Judah assembled to seek help, they all, this was individual, this was also corporate. They came together to seek help from the Lord. And from all the cities, they came to seek the Lord. This battle, because of what lay up ahead of them. Jehoshaphat brings the whole group together. And then he prays. O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Did you not, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? And they have lived in it and have built for you in it a sanctuary for your name. If disaster comes upon us, the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house. And we will cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. What a prayer. If disaster comes upon us, if there's sword, if there's no protection, maybe you're feeling vulnerable in the battle today. If judgment comes upon us, no authority. If pestilence comes upon us, we're disturbed, we're troubled, no peace in our lives. If famine comes upon us, we're weak with no strength. Joseph had no doubt, he thought, before I cried out to the Lord and the Lord helped me. He says, listen, we're going to stand in this battle. For your name is in this house. This brings us right into the whole area of the armor of God and putting on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and having done all to stand, because the honor of your name is at stake. I love here what he says about God. He starts off and he says, O God of our fathers, are you not? Are you not God in heaven? You're the all-powerful one. You're the almighty one. You are our God of the universe. You're the mighty God. Our God is greater. That's what we're singing this morning. Are you not God in heaven? And then he says, did you not? God, did you not? Did you not do this? Did you not? You drove the inhabitants of this land before your people. Did you not? You helped me in the battle before, Lord. Did you not do that? In the past, you did that. And then he says in verse 12, O God, will you not? Do it again, Lord. Will you not? Will you not execute judgment on them? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And this is something that all of Judah, their little ones, their wives, their children, were all exposed to this battle. Look at verse 13. Meanwhile, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Are you teaching your children? Are you leaving it to the Sunday school upstairs? Are you teaching them at home the greatness of our God and how he wins battles? We are powerless. Our inability to do anything, our lack of knowledge, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, Lord. Is that where you are today? You feel so unable, so inadequate. You can't face what's going on, and you don't know what to do. It's a dilemma. But our eyes are on you, Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jaziel, the son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, son of Mattiah, a Levite, the son of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, "Listen, all Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great battle, great horde. The battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up, the ascent of Ziz. The battle's going to start. You will find them at the end of the valley, east of the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm, hold your position, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Do not be broken. Do not be shattered." That's what the thought is here of being dismayed. "Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you." And you're wondering, how am I going to face the rest of this week? Turn the battle over to the Lord. It's His battle. Set your face to seek Him. Don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them. Not in your own strength, not in your own knowledge, but with a full dependence and faith in the living God. Did you not? Will you not? Plenty of battles have been fought and won down through the ages and down through the history of Scripture. There was another battle. And the battle wasn't yours and it wasn't mine. But it was God's battle. It happened long after 2 Chronicles was written. And it happened when Jesus Christ was on a cross, nailed by hands and feet outside Jerusalem. A battle against the Roman occupation. A battle against the religious elite of the Levites and the Sadducees. A battle against the forces of evil, the devil and hell itself. And the battle was that you and I might have forgiveness and freedom from the penalty, the power of sin. And maybe you're fighting sin today in your life. You haven't yet yielded to Jesus Christ as Lord of your life or said thank you to Him. You've tried to be religious. You've tried to go to church. You've tried to do this. You've tried to do that. And you're fighting the battle when the battle's been won. It's been fought. Jesus fought it. And God in Christ fought it for you. And He says to you, trust me, have faith in me. Just when I was sitting there, this came to me. And now the mighty deed is done. On the cross, on the cross. The battle fought. The victory won on the cross, on the cross. To heaven He turns His languid eyes. 'Tis finished now, the conqueror cries, then bows his sacred head and dies on the cross. And that battle was for you, and it's been won, and you need to step into the good of that this morning. Jehoshaphat gets that word. Then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Oh my goodness, if you could see the battle and what was being accomplished for you at the cross, it would cause you to bow down and worship. Take a low and humble place before the Lord God Almighty and bow and worship and praise Him and thank Him. And the Levites and the Korazites and the Korites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. We bow down and worship, and we are able to stand up to praise God for the battle that's fought and the victory that's won. Jehoshaphat says, believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe his prophets and you will succeed. Have you faith to believe this morning that God can win your battles for you? We are powerless against this great horde that's coming against us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. I'm just about to finish. It's very interesting to note that they headed down to go to the battle. And when Jehoshaphat had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire, as they went before the army, and say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. They ended up killing each other. You've maybe come in here this morning, and the last thing on your mind is to praise the Lord. I'll tell you something. There's power in praise. Ask Paul and Silas about it. Don't worry if the notes don't sound right. They're not in tune. I told you before, Louise, I stayed at home one night from the prayer meeting, and Louise came in and she was playing a song the whole way in, and she went up to the prayer meeting, she came back down, she came back out, playing the same song, came out, she said, we need to praise God. And round the island in our kitchen, we raised the hallelujah to the Lord. I raised a hallelujah in the middle of the battle. And this morning, you may be have inability, you don't know what to do. I'm encouraging you to turn your eyes upon Jesus Christ. Whatever is going on in your life. And what I'd love to do is we don't need to know the battle. And you don't need to share the battle necessarily. But if you feel you would like me to pray with you right now, whatever battles are going on in your life, then I'm going to ask you in a moment or two just to stand to your feet, and we're going to pray for you. That as you go out this week, go out tomorrow, and go out and praise. And after I pray with you, we are going to praise like we never going to praise. And Jesus Christ is going to be my vision and your vision this week. So if you'd like me to pray with you, not praying for the rest of you, like, But maybe there's just a specific thing going on, then maybe stand to your feet if you would like that. Let's pray. Oh God, Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And we come to you this morning because you rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. In your hand are power and might so that none is able to withstand you. And Lord, did you not in the past drive out? Did you not in the past and the lives of people that are before you this morning, did you not move in a way that they stood back and said it was only God, but maybe today they're asking questions. Maybe today their inability and they don't know what to do. And Lord, we are asking you for these people that are standing on their feet right now, that you will step in and that they will step out with you into the battle. We pray, Lord, that we will, those of us here this morning, we will recognize we're not able, but you are. They will recognize we don't know what to do, but you do know what to do. And so we lift our eyes to you this morning, and we pray over every person that's standing in this room this morning, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will move in their battle. And if there's someone in this place this morning that's battling with sin, still hasn't trusted Christ, we pray this morning that they would encounter Christ and thank him for the battle that he won for them at the cross. Pray your blessing upon every single one of us this morning, our families. The battles are raging, but we thank you. God, you are able. Are you not? Did you not? Will you not? Help as these people cry out to you this morning. We pray that you will help them in Jesus' mighty and glorious name. Amen.